and niyamas of yoga, exploring yoga's ethical practice. The author, Deborah Adele, she and her teenage daughter were going on their first overnight retreat experience together. And she writes, "In my usual organized, prepared style, I started asking Ashley way in advance what we should pack. I held my frustration as the days passed and the question continued to go unanswered. The day before we were to leave, I said, 'Ashley, we have to make plans.' Grandma, that's the whole point of getting away. Make it easy. Don't take anything. Not even plans." And she continues, "I wondered where else I was missing the point with my planning and hauling and packing. In fact, how many suitcases full of expectations, full of tasks, plans, resentments, unforgiven moments was I toting around with me every day? What if we woke up every morning and took nothing with us? What if that was the whole point? Unpacked our way to freedom. Unpacked our way to being. What if we unpacked our way to God?" The yamas, the universal moralities of yoga's practice. There are five of them. The fourth one, however, is a parigraha, or non-possessiveness. And she writes about that. She says, "A parigraha is also interpreted as non-attachment, non-greed, non-clinging, simply letting go. This yama suggests that God asks us to enjoy life to the fullest and yet always be able to drop everything and run into the open, waiting arms of the divine." If, like the young child at the daycare, or as if, like that young child, who's playing with their toys and happily engaged and totally enjoying life, till mom walks in, or grandma walks in. And if you've had the privilege of seeing that child's face when they drop everything and run, that's what she's writing about. What if we could enjoy life? Use everything. Live in that beautiful flow. But be ready to drop it all and run into the waiting arms of the divine. And if we aren't ready to let go our plans, our tasks, our desires, our expectations, she says, maybe we've missed the point. And the last thing I'd like to read to you is this. It is the nature of things to change. By failing to let them change or move on, they begin to disappoint us, and our attempts to hold on begin to make us stale and discontent. What we try to possess possesses us. Now maybe you've done this before, but imagine. Take a deep breath with me and let it go. And take another one and just notice how good it feels to fill your body with breath, that life energy, and let it go. Now just imagine feel so good that you take your next breath and you hang on. It's so good. Why would you let it go? Please don't take yourself too far, but you know, as I try to hang on to the breath, what do I notice? What do you notice? My chest is getting kind of tight. I think I notice my voice getting just a little more, you know, like a little less, like it's almost not there. And as much as I was trying to be with you, I was really focused on, you know, oh my God. I tried to possess the breath, and it totally consumed me. All I could think about was being okay. Her phrase, what if we took nothing with us and unpacked our way to God? I couldn't resist. Unpack your way to God. And it went in my folder of talk titles for someday in the future. So this morning, that is the title of the talk. Unpack your way to God. But it makes me ask first, well, what is it we're unpacking our way to? So toss out your ideas. What is God? Anyone?
Love.
Love. What else?
Freedom.
Freedom?
Peace.
Peace?
Joy.
Joy.
Spirit within.
Spirit within. Love, peace, joy, freedom. Spirit within. Yeah. We are God expressing, right? That spirit within that I am. Another idea that I'd like to put out into the mix, surprise, surprise, is flow. For me, Spirit, God, is that divine flow. That energy that when I am allowing myself to be with it, oh my. That is truly unpacked my way totally to the divine. And it's awesome. The song we just sang, I give you nothing but the best. I give to you love that will last. I give you everything you need, the water, the seed. And I ask of you just one thing as you go about each day. I ask that you use each gift and then give it away. And then allow the flow, right? So how is it that we limit our experience of God, of the I am, of the flow? What do we humans cling to that prevents us from noticing God's presence? What are the attachments that you have packed into your suitcase, into your life, into your daily routines, that keep you from your experience of the divine? What if we woke up every morning and took nothing with us? And what if that was the whole point? What if we unpacked our way to God? So it was just a couple weeks ago when April said she was going to be gone this Sunday and someone wanted to speak. And I know, you know, I was here last week, but here's what happened. How many of you are taking this class, Speaking from the Heart? A lot of you. I'm not taking the class, except vicariously through my husband and through the book. It's an amazing book called Be Heard Now. And the concept of speaking from the heart, actually I should let one of you describe it. How would you describe speaking from the heart?
Connecting, being yourself.
Connecting and being yourself. So, being myself, connecting with you. The book was a challenge to me because I realized that as much as I've grown comfortable and I feel very grateful that I have the privilege sometimes of speaking here, I knew after reading this book, or even getting a little ways into it, you know, the notes on the stand here, they're usually a script that I've well rehearsed. Rehearsed so much that I don't need to look at them too much, right? But they're there, and every so often there's a glance, you know. I had a script last week, and then I realized, oh crap, I dare not use it. This week is the first time that I am willing to have created an outline. I have some idea of what's going on here, but my intention here is to be with you, speak from the heart, receive the beauty that is coming from each and every one of your eyes. It is so amazing. Thanks to the book. So here's what happened. 3-4 weeks ago, I realized Unpack Your Way to God is going to become a talk. And Spirit started sending me all sorts of ideas, and I would write them into this document that I have on the computer that just, you know, waiting around. And as I was preparing for last week, I realized I couldn't really focus on this week. So my intention was to get up Monday morning this week and start. Wow, and I knew it would fall into place. I would have this today's talk ready. And I did that. I got up Monday morning. Sunday was done. The workshop was done. And I started working on the talk. And I looked at the ideas. And Emily's shaking her head.
So am I.
God, they didn't work. They just didn't work. And in fact, the longer I sat trying to make a talk outline work, the more stuck I got. Okay, I put it away. I got up Tuesday morning, and I opened up the document, and I knew version 2 was going to work. And I got stuck. And I got more stuck. And I got scared. Holy crap, I am used to being prepared. I mean, I'm used to having this months in advance, and it's days. And I wrote April a little note. I said, I trust, and I know there's going to be a talk on Sunday, but honestly, in this minute, I'm kind of scared. And she didn't react. She held the space, as you know she would. Wednesday, I got up. And I was still stuck. I did what I usually do on Wednesdays. I put out something on Facebook, and it's just a little midweek update. And a friend from Milwaukee responded and invited me to write back and say, oh, Cindy, thank you. That idea is going to help me because I'm feeling stuck in this talk I need to write called Unpack Your Way to God. Okay, Spirit, Cindy. She sends me a little message. And it went like this. Good morning, Jean. Just a gentle reminder that the talk that you don't know how to write for Sunday is not your talk to write. You are only the facilitator to deliver a message that Spirit wants to speak. Enjoy the discovery of figuring out what Spirit wants. You know, you never know what direction Spirit's going to show up, but if that message wasn't pure divine gift, immediately I felt like the lock was turned. I didn't yet know where the talk was going to go, but I knew that she had opened up the floodgates. And I knew that version 3 had to start with a blank sheet of paper. And all of those ideas, maybe they were good in their time, but they needed to be set aside. and one remained. And that's the one that I'll share with you this morning. It was a little over 3.5 years ago when I walked out that door, fully believing I'd never walk back in. I had spent about 12 years here. And about 10 of those years, I was happily, joyfully, well, let's say maybe about 6 of those years, flowing with the creation of music. I was unpacking years of beliefs that no longer worked for me. I was listening to the universal flow, because those songs don't come from me, they come through. I was receiving your energy in response, and there was this beautiful flow, and I was unpacking my way to an inner, creativity, inner I am, that was able to connect with your inner I am. And as the years went on, and the songs went on, some things happened in me. The songs got harder to write. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I mean, I had packed around me a music ministry, and that's what I was here to do. But it wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling creative. And this was more in the last couple years. And it got to a point where I was stuck. I didn't know, I didn't feel connected because I was up here doing my thing and you all were growing and flowing. And I was trying to keep this package alive and it wasn't working. So I began to think about, and those of you who were here know I took one or two sabbaticals along the way, you know, just a couple months away. Somewhere in there, I really did think that maybe it was time. Maybe I had learned everything I was going to learn, and I needed to take my coaching, I was beginning that experience of my life, and take it out there. And maybe it was about sharing the message outside of these four walls. Then I got really scared, because there were a lot of things going on. First off, my music only belongs at Unity, right? What am I going to do without my music? What am I going to do without that source of creativity? Mind you, it was stuck, but, you know, if I walk out that door, I leave a lot behind. What about all of you? I've got friends. What are you going to think of me if I abandon you? Hear the message. Hear the ego getting in the way, too. I mean, at that time, we didn't have a music team, per se. For the most part, and some of you can fill in gaps, we had Rick Biela for 17 years, and then me. And lots of times, it was one or the both of us up there. And somewhere in the more recent years, I mean, Cindy always came on occasion, but you were busy with kids. Tom had started to join us. But it was a pretty lonely place up there, and sometimes Rick and I were alone toward the end as he was getting ready to leave, too. So if I walk out that door, what if there's nobody? Spirit said, you're stuck. You need to walk. Here's what happens when you finally become willing to listen, to let go of the plans and designs. For me in that moment, when I made the decision itself freed me. My creativity came back, not with Unity songs, but with coaching songs. And I wrote about 10 songs about life coaching in the span of 3 or 4 months to help me understand coaching. I had blocked my creativity by studying stuff. Any number of other things. I took my music to Harmony Cafe and Atlas and workshops and found that there were other places for it. Here? Oh my. I mean, you know what happened, but if you weren't here to watch it happen, there was this void, like who was going to pick the songs for next Sunday? And I suspect April asked you, Tom, but you said yes. I will step up as music coordinator. Cindy probably came back regularly to sing. You found a way to hire Jonathan. You know, Rick had volunteered his time for years as our keyboard player. But you found the financial energy exchange to give us a keyboard player. And Rick found Jonathan. And then Maggie. And then John. I really believe that my stuck energy, my insistence on staying beyond the point where I was freely in the flow, also prevented you from becoming a part of that amazing ministry. So when I came back to visit and saw Janice and Sue and John and Tom and Jonathan, it was spirit working, right? It was universal flow. So my blocking was blocking me, and it was blocking others. Things change. Now, there's the other side of the story, right? And that is that I walked, and I found flow out there. I found people who enjoyed hearing about the Unity message out there. And even brought them back. I came back. I was invited to speak. I couldn't stay away. I mean, come on, you guys. You know that, right? There's another piece that I'm going to try to share with you this morning because I couldn't back then, and maybe Spirit had a different design. Back in spring of 2009, when I was not writing a single song, and finally realized that I had to let go of Unity, immediately the message I heard was, Jane, you're a songwriter. You wrote a song every time a minister left this congregation. You wrote them a goodbye song. You need to write yourself a song, Jane. And I did. I don't know if any of you remember, but the song was called Farewell. And it took me weeks to be able to sing it without crying at home. But I never got up the courage to share it that day before I walked out that door. Oh, I shared it. But you see, it was Rick's going away party. So I shared it as if it was a song for him. And I want to share it with you because when I looked at it again this week, it speaks to the flow, to realizing that we find ourselves, we unpack our way to God, and sometimes that means letting go of the ick, letting go of the good. And I want to invite you today to take a look at what you've packed in your life that's not working, that needs to be freed. And I'm going to try to sing for you. I do say that seriously. I'm going to try to sing to you. Farewell. also find it rather interesting that I didn't sing it. Maybe because I wasn't meant to be gone. Maybe because I needed to stay eventually. Such a deep knowing that all would be okay when I realized how much my ego had gotten in the way of my decision, right? And how much it was a we all along. It was spirit working through each and every one of us. And it was okay to move on and to spread the joy and energy. And to trust. Trust that it would be okay. And what I know is that for me it cycled back. Not for everyone. And it didn't cycle back to the same place, that's for sure. It cycled back in a whole new way. And I am ever so grateful for being allowed to grow in your presence. So unpack your way to God. How? Well, dare to believe that your answers are here. That's the only place they are. Regularly consult with the God that you know. It might be through meditation, prayer. For me, it's regularly stepping outside of the world. Okay? No longer in great big, I'm going to walk away forever, but it's every day step outside of the noise and the busyness of my life and meditate, clear my mind. Find others to support you. We don't do this alone. When April learned that her entire music team basically was walking out that door on the same day in July, she didn't try to hold on. She didn't say, oh, please, no. She prayed and held the high watch. He supported me in my decision. And then she listened to Spirit and heard what was next for you. Gratitude, oh my gosh, gratitude for all that shows up because that is God. Gratitude for you, in my case. You were part of the unfolding. Dare to try something new. Dare to let go of what you think is a forever thing because everything changes. Dare to unpack your way to God. Our meditation is going to be a little bit different and it's going to feed into our next song. And I just looked at the clock and realized I went well over. But thank you. So, somewhere in the meditation, I'm going to start a simple chant. And I would invite you to, when you feel ready, when you feel called to be a part of that chant, please lend your voice. Okay? Some of the words of the meditation come from a woman whose name is Paula D'Arcy, and I share that with you. So yes, please. So let's prepare for meditation. Feel free to close your eyes. Sit in a way that's comfortable for you, that frees you to go deep within to that space where God dwells. God grows. God lives as you. Deep within, in that place where we listen, where we hear the answers that we need in order to remain connected to our inner I am, to the flow of Spirit in our lives. And Paula writes, listen, something's trying to be born in you. The world is only a place through which you pass. Look at it differently. Something else is trying to emerge. Jesus said, I've come to start a fire in your heart. Is your heart available to your life? Wrestle with what's real. Something's trying to emerge. Let yourself be drawn by a different voice. Something's trying to make its presence known. Imagine not being afraid. Imagine not resisting this greater power, this greater soul. Something is moving. It's pressing through every circumstance. Imagine how you would grow if you listened. Imagine your mind not in the way, just for a moment, see your life. Spirit is you. And as you release attachment to the outer, as you listen within, you grow closer to who you really are. You move with the flow of God essence. Spirit is me. As I release attachment to the outer, as I listen within, I grow closer to who I really am. I move with the flow of God essence. As I remain willing to unpack my way to God, I can say in each and every moment, I am closer than I've ever been to being who I really am. Rest there in the silence. I am closer than I've ever been.